नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं तथो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवतीर्नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। रीडिङ्ग् फ्रम् श्रीमद्भागवतम् केण्टो 6 चाप्टर् 4 and specific focus for today on text number 48. Canto 6, chapter 4, text 48. Mayananta gunenante मय्यनन्तगुणेनन्ते गुणतो गुणविग्रह गुणतो गुणविग्रह यदासीत् तत एवाद्यः यदासीत् तत एवाद्यः स्वयंभू समभूत अजह स्वयंभू समभूत अजह मय्यनन्त गुणेनन्ते गुणतो गुण विग्रह यदासीत् तत एवाद्यः स्वयंभू समभूदजः मय्यनन्त गुणेनन्ते गुणतो गुण विग्रह यदासीत् तत एवाद्यः स्वयंभू समभूदजः। My, in me, ananta gune, possessing unlimited potency, anante, unlimited, gunata, from my potency, known as maya, guna vigraha, the universe, which is a result of the modes of nature, yada, when, Asit, it came into existence. Tatah, therein, eva, indeed, adyah, the first living being, Swayambhu, Lord Brahma, Samabhut, was born. Ajah, although not from a material mother. Translation. I am the reservoir of unlimited potency and therefore I am known as unlimited all, all pervading. From my material energy, the cosmic manifestation appeared within me and in this universal manifestation appeared the chief being, Lord Brahma, who is your source and is not born of a material mother. Purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. This is a description of the history of the universal creation. The first cause is the Lord Himself, the Supreme Person. From Him, Brahma is created, and Brahma takes charge of the affairs of the universe. The universal affairs of the material creation depend upon the material energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is therefore the cause of the material creation. The entire cosmic manifestation is described herein as Guna Vigraha. The entire cosmic manifestation is described herein as Guna Vigraha, the form of the Lord's qualities. From the cosmic universal form, the first creation is Lord Brahma, who is the cause of all living entities. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya describes the unlimited attributes of the Lord. Prati ekasho gunanam tu nisimatvam udiryate tada anantyam tu gunatas te chananta hi sankhyaya ato ananta guno vishnor gunato ananta evacha. Parasha Saktir Vividha Shruyate. The Lord has innumerable potencies, all of which are unlimited. Therefore, the Lord Himself and all His qualities, forms, pastimes and paraphernalia are also unlimited. Because Lord Vishnu has unlimited attributes, He is known as Ananta. Because Lord Vishnu has unlimited attributes, He is also known as Ananta. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Panghum Langhayate Girim Yatkripa Tammaham Vande Sri Guru Dinatarinam Vanchakal Pataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Mai ananta gune anante gunato guna vigraha yadasi tata evadyaha swayambhu samabhud ajaha. I am the reservoir of unlimited potency, and therefore I am known as unlimited or all pervading. From my material energy, the cosmic manifestation appeared within me, and in this universal manifestation appeared the chief being Lord Brahma, who is your source and is not born of a material mother. This morning my printer conked off. Just because before I was leaving, I was struggling with it. 10 minutes, then I gave up. So I managed to take some photos of whatever I had scripted. So please bear with me. And I'm short-sighted, so you're going to see me doing this. So please bear with me. I'll try my best not to see minimum, but can't help it. Till yesterday it was working fine. Only this morning when I wanted this printout, it stopped working. This is technology. Anyway, technology is limited. But the Lord is Ananta. He is unlimited. Right. So, we are discussing Canto 6, Chapter 4, and we are in text number 48. So, Chapter 4 is called as the Hamsa Guhya Prayers. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam is one of the 18 Puranas. In fact, it is a number one Purana out of the 18. Now, for any scripture to be called as Purana, it needs to address 10 subject matters. So, in compliance with the definition of a Purana, the Srimad Bhagavatam also addresses 10 subject matters. So, if now there are 18 such Puranas, and these Puranas are called as the primary Puranas, and then there are what are called as the Upa Purana are another 18. They are called as the secondary Puranas, but the secondary Puranas do not have this constraint that they have to address 10 subject matters. So the 10 subject matters is only the characteristic or feature of the main major Puranas. So Srimad Bhagavatam is considered as a major Purana. In fact, it is called as Mahapurana, number one Purana. So now, this Srimad Bhagavatam also addresses 10 subject matters. What are the 10 subject matters? Atra sarga visarga, sthanam poshanam uthaya, manvantara isha anukatha, nirodhor muktir ashrayaha. Sarga means primary creation. Visarga is secondary creation. Sthanam is the various planetary systems, the arrangement of the various planetary systems. Poshanam, which forms a large component of what we are discussing now. Poshanam is called as the protection from the Lord. So that forms a part of this specific canto, and today also we are going to discuss certain aspects of Poshanam. So that is the protective power of the Lord. Uti, or the creative impetus, or what we also called as the karma vasan, because of our past karma, the whole creation has happened to satisfy our desires which have come as a result of what we have done in our past lifetimes. So that is also addressed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. When the world is created, it needs governance. So it needs, and first of all, the world has to be populated and then it has to be governed. So for that purpose, there are Manus. So the topic of Manus is discussed in as Manvantara. Isha Anukatha is the next subject matter, which deals with the pastimes of the Lord with his devotees. And that's quite a bit of that is also there in a ninth canto. And then there is Nirodho, which is destruction. And then there is Mukti, which is liberation. And then Ashraya, which is the most important out of all the 10 subject matters. Ashraya means shelter. After studying all these 9 subject matters, the study has to lead or culminate in the 10th subject matter, which is called as the Ashraya. So Srimad Bhagavatam addresses all these 10 subject matters, and therefore it is aptly called as Mahapurana. In the Srimad Bhagavatam also it is mentioned that there is a very famous sweet verse. It says, Nimna Ganam Yatha Ganga, Devanam Achyuto Yatha, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, Purananam Idam Tatha. Nimna Ganam Yatha Ganga means out of all the rivers, just as Ganges is the highest, out of all the celestial personalities, the Devi Devatas, Devanam Achyuto Yatha, the infallible Lord Krishna is the supreme. Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, the highest Vaishnava in this material world is Lord Shambhu or Lord Shiva. In the same way, out of all the Puranas, the highest Purana is Srimad Bhagavatam. Purananam Idam Tatha. So, Srimad Bhagavatam addresses all the subject matters, and if one studies all the subject matters, there is no question to which one will not have an answer. Today the famous question in the world going on is, what does Vladimir Putin want? Everyone is asking that question. What does he want? But from a devotional lens, we will understand what he wants, why he wants. We will also understand who is the Sarva Karana Karanam of all this mess. Right? Are there other entities in the world who are also cause of all these causes, this war which is happening? Or is he only the only cause and the direct cause? So we will, when we see through the scriptures, we will understand an interplay of man's emotions and aspirations. Topmost of that, which we see here in today's situation, is greed of mankind to exploit. So everything can be understood perfectly by seeing that through the lens of Shastra or the scriptures. Now, out of all these 10 subject matters that the Purana, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam, addresses, the 6th canto deals with Poshanam or the protective aspect of the Lord. Now, the Lord protects through 4 means. He protects through His Nama, He protects through His Guna, through His Nama, Guna, Rupa and Leela, His form and His pastimes. All those contribute to inspiring us and protecting our devotional life. Now, in the same canto, we saw the canto in fact opened with the protective power of the Lord by describing the pastime of Ajamil. Ajamil was protected by which aspect of the Lord? By the Nam aspect of the Lord. So much so that Ajamil was not even chanting the holy names purely. It was Nam Abhash. It was a shadow of the holy name. It was not offensive chanting, but it was not pure chanting. So it was in the middle region, which is called as Namabhash. So shadow chanting. So even with that shadow chanting, when he called out inadvertently Narayana, the name Narayana, he was calling out to his son, we saw still the Lord protected him and gave him what is called as the second chance, so that he doesn't land up in the region of the Yamadutas. So here, the Lord in the early part of the chapter protected by His Naam. And today we are seeing in this section the Lord is protecting by revealing His form or His Roop. So who is He revealing this form to? He has shown His form just now to Daksha, Daksha Prajapati. So in Canto 4 onwards, this Daksha Prajapati thing is coming. It's not something the first time Daksha is coming. In Canto 4 also, it is this pastime is mentioned. And in that particular section, we see that Daksha as Prajapati had offended Lord Shivji in the Yajna. He ignored Lord Shiva. He failed to offer his respects to this great personality, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, who was there in the forum, but he failed to pay proper respects. On top of that, he insulted him also. Not only ignored, but he insulted him. So what happened was, we know that pastime where he did that yajna and then Lord Shivaji left. Then Sati, she left her body in anguish of this whole pastime. Lord Shivaji was very angered. Then Veerabhadra cut the head of Daksha. And then there was a sacrificial goat which was there. Then the first transplant, head transplant. We don't hear head transplant in this world, right? We hear various organ transplant. We never know that, you know, somebody's head has been transplanted. Just imagine how the world will be if it actually happened. Nobody will know who the real person is. Right? So the first head transplant. So Daksha's head was, which head he had now? The head of a goat. Obviously, he was embarrassed. Who likes to walk around with the head of a goat, right? So he was embarrassed. He was ashamed. So he went to a mountain called as Vindhyachal Mountain. And there, he wanted to destroy all his sins. And he started austerities. And as part of those austerities, he spoke what is called as the Hamsa Guhya prayers. It is the title of this particular chapter. The Hamsa Guhya prayers. Now, this Hamsa Guhya prayers were not invented by Daksha. Hamsa Guhya prayers are originally part of the Vedas. He just, because he was studying the Vedas, he spoke those specific prayers, because it is said that if one recites this Hamsa Guhya prayers, then and performs austerities, then one can actually have darshan of the Lord. So the Lord was pleased with his austerity and with his chant of the Hamsa Guhya prayers, and the Lord gave him darshan. The Lord appeared in front of him in 8-armed form. Now, this Daksha, he was not an Akinchana devotee. It was not that he prayed that, "Oh Lord, let me have your Let me only have your devotional service birth after birth. His prayers are not characterized by pure bhakti. His consciousness is not reflective of pure bhakti. Rather, he prayed for empowerment so that he can continue his generating progeny in this world. Because he had started this exercise, but there were some impediments to generating progeny. So he prayed to the Lord, almost in the mood of saying that, Lord, okay, now you please empower me to do my Varnashrama Dharma duties. Like that, in that sense. So it was not the highest prayer. And therefore the Lord appeared, but and the Lord is speaking to him. Right now the Lord is speaking to him, various verses. But at the end, the result was that Daksha did not go back to the spiritual world after this. Daksha was simply empowered to continue his duty in this material world. Now, this Daksha, in this chapter we see that the chapter opened with the Prachetas becoming very angry. The Prachetas had earlier done a lot of austerities under the water. They had darshan of Lord Shiva. In that sense, they were self-realized. They even had darshan of the Lord. But after that, when they came out of the austerity, somehow the modes of material nature caught up on them and they started destroying the forests. Then the moon god appeared and then appeased them, saying that, why are you destroying these forests? And then the moon god got them married to Pramlocha, celestial girl. And then when they saw the celestial girl, their anger was appeased. They married, all the Prachetas together married this one celestial girl. And this Daksha who is coming right now is the son of those Prachetas through that Pramlocha Apsara. Whereas that Daksha which we saw there was another manifestation of Prajapati directly coming through Brahma. Like that. So, in one sense, it's like another aspect of the Daksha. Punar, you know, we say twice born, like that. He's again twice born here. So, he saw this Jaksha Prajapati, he is now prayed to the Lord. Lord has appeared in front of him. And the Lord has not come alone. The Lord, in fact, came with his entire entourage. There was Narad Muni and so many other personalities. There was the Siddhas, Charanas, everyone was there along with him. So Daksha is prayed to the Lord. When Daksha saw the Lord, he told his Hamsaguhya prayers and he was praying. And today's verse is about the Lord again talking to him in reciprocation to his austerities and prayers. So in yesterday's verse, which His Grace Karunanidhi Prabhu spoke, yesterday's verse was very similar to the first verse of the Chatushloki or Emperor verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Aham evasam evagre. So yesterday's verse was about Sambandha Gyan, where the Lord says that, please understand that before everything I existed, when everything exists, I still exist, and after everything in this material world is destroyed, I will still continue to exist. So that is the first Chatushloki of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which was also expounded yesterday. It came again in this canto in a slightly different Sanskrit form, but essentially the meaning is the same. Now today's verse, the Lord is talking about his aspect of being the cause of all causes. Today there are two aspects that are being discussed in this verse. The Lord is saying, I am unlimited, ananta, and I am also sarva karana karanam. I am the cause of all causes. And as a part of this explanation, Prabhupada is explaining to us that the Lord is Shaktiman. And the Shaktis belong to the Lord and are subservient to the Lord. Sometimes in India, many people are confused. Should I worship Vishnu or Durga? This is a perpetual confusion. If you go and speak Krishna consciousness, they'll say, no, I am Durga worshipper, right? And I worship Shakti, like that. Which is not incorrect. Obviously, Durga Devi is not an ordinary personality. So it's absolutely okay to worship Durga Devi. But the problem comes when people worship Durga Devi only for material benefits. For example, just imagine, don't take it seriously. If we were placed inside that altar over there for one day, we have to say, okay, all of you stand inside now. And everyone is coming and then glorifying you. What nice t-shirt, beautiful black t-shirt, just roll, 87 number, beautiful. No, what do you call that as? Beanie, huh? Hoodie.
beautiful hoodie, wonderful. Two handsome personalities. Wow, how nice. I've never seen anyone more handsome than both of you, like that. Glorify. And then ask, can I get $50, please? And then after we leave, another person comes and then says, what beautiful personalities. What black t-shirt. Both of you are excellent. Never heard about anyone. Can you please ensure that I get promotion in my office? Another person comes and then says, I'm just going for an auction. Beautiful personality. You know, what wonderful you people are. You know? Just imagine this goes on and then says, can I win that auction? You know, today, can you enable this? We'll get sick and fed up standing there throughout the day. But this is what we do to Durga Devi. We do to the demigods. They are there, controller of the universal affairs. Rather than going to Shakti Tattva and asking her, the way you are serving Vishnu, please can you give that mood of service to me? Rather than that, we go to them with the wrong intention. So it's not wrong to go to the demigods. Prabhupada says, fools worship the demigods, not full stop. Fools worship the demigods for material results. Okay, so we have to understand that very clearly. So otherwise we will do offense to demigods. Without the demigods, we will not even survive for one day. Right? If that, what is that? The Lord of Water decides to, you know, finish us off. In 1 second, everything will be gone in Melbourne. You know? That all that Hobson's Bay water has to just come inside, that's all. In 15 minutes, we are finished. Right? All our property, investment property, bank balance, cloud computing, disaster recovery servers, everything will be finished in 1 minute. Right? So therefore, we have to respect the demigods. Because the Lord says, all are aspects of mine. I am unlimited and everything, mattah sarvam pravartate. So everything is associated with me. Only that is Maya, which you see separately from me. That is the second shloka, chatushloki. Rite ratam yat pratiyata na pratiyata cha atmani, tad vidya atmano mayam yatha bhasho yatha tamaha. Only that is Maya, of which you cannot see a connection to me. So if we see the connection of everything with Lord Krishna, then nothing is Maya. Now, we are talking about the various shaktis of the Lord. Now, in this verse, the potencies of the Lord are being described. Now, at the outset, at the highest level, the Lord's Shaktis can be called as Parashakti. At the highest level, the Lord's Shakti is called as Parashakti. This Parashakti is sometimes also called as Swarupa Shakti or Achintya Shakti. Achintya means inconceivable power. Achintya Shakti. So, Parashakti, Swarup Shakti or Achintya Shakti. This is the highest level. And this Shakti of the Lord is now classified into three. Antaranga Shakti, which is the internal potency of the Lord. Bahiranga Shakti, which is the external potency of the Lord. And Tathashta Shakti, which is the marginal potency of the Lord. Now, this particular Shakti of the Lord, which is called as Achintya Shakti or Parashakti, at the highest level, this Shakti is further divided into three. These potencies are divided into three. What are the three? Sandini Shakti, Samvit Shakti and Alhadini Shakti. I repeat, that Parashakti or the Achintya Shakti of the Lord or the Swarupa Shakti of the Lord is divided into three. What are the three? Sandini Shakti, Samvit Shakti and Alhadini Shakti. So it's a bit technical, but this section is technical. So Sandini Shakti is that Shakti, or the it is called as the potency of power, sustenance and manifestation. The potency of power, sustenance and manifestation. So it is through by this Sandini Shakti that all this manifestation happens. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. The different worlds, the spiritual world, the material world, everything is manifesting through the power of this Sandini Shakti. So it is the power of sustenance. It's also the power of, it's the power of manifestation and it's the power of sustenance. Everything is maintained through this Sandini Shakti.
In fact, all the pastimes of the Lord, the Leela Sthalis, or the place where the Lord is performing his pastimes, the abode of the Lord, everything is manifesting through this Sandini Shakti. The various forms of the Lord, and there are unlimited forms of the Lord. They are all manifesting through this Sandini Shakti. Not only the forms of the Lord, the forms of his companions, the forms of the cows in Vrindavan, everything is coming through the Sandini Shakti. All the paraphernalia that are required for worshipping the Lord, everything is the product of the aspect of the Sandini Shakti. Then there is, and the Sandini Shakti is the Sat aspect of the Lord, the eternality aspect of the Lord, by which nothing is destroyed. It is only, now if you say material world is destroyed, in one sense it is correct, but in another sense it is not correct, because the material world is only unmanifested, and the external aspect of that unmanifestation is called as destruction, because we see destruction, but it is just all the material elements merging back into their source. So it's just unmanifesting in one sense. Then the second aspect, the Shakti, is called as Samvit Shakti. The first was Sandini Shakti, sustenance and power. The second is Samvit Shakti. This is the potency of cognizance, or the aspect of knowledge. So this, it is this Shakti from where jnana or knowledge comes. So this is the chit aspect. The first one was the sat aspect. This is the chit aspect. And it is through the Samvit Shakti that different moods are generated, or different rasas are generated for the Lord interacting with his devotees. Knowledge of the Lord and forgetfulness of the Lord, both are aspects of the Samvit Shakti. Knowledge of the Lord, so that we worship the Lord as God. Forgetfulness of the Lord, so that we worship the Lord and serve the Lord in forgetfulness of his Godhood, which is Rasa Tattva, right? Which is Madhurya Ras or Vatsalya Ras, where you forget that this is the Lord and you see the Lord only as your friend or your child. So this is knowledge, this is spiritual knowledge and spiritual forgetfulness. And then there is material forgetfulness, thinking that I am the Lord. So there are various aspects of this knowledge, and the opposite of this knowledge is forgetfulness, or forgetfulness of this knowledge. So all these aspects, all this come from the Samvit Shakti, the pure Samvit Shakti, or the perverted reflection of what is pure in this material world. And then the third is Alladini Shakti. Alladini Shakti is the Anand aspect of the Lord. So it is the potency by which various dynamic variegated activities are performed, like the Rasalila, for the pleasure of the Lord. Alladini Shakti is personified by Srimati Radharani. She is the topmost. She is Alladini Shakti of the Lord at the highest level. And she expands herself as many, many entities who are all engaged in giving pleasure to the Lord in Rasa Tattva. Like, for example, she manifests herself as Lalita, Vishaka, Champakalata, Chitra Devi, Tunga Vidya, Induleka, Ranga Devi, Sudevi, all these various gopis she manifests as. She again manifests herself as Lakshmiji. To serve Krishna, she manifests as Radharani. Then she is Radharani. And then she manifests as Lakshmi Devi to serve Lord Krishna in his Narayana feature. Then she again manifests as Durga Devi in the material world, because all these are manifestations of Shakti Tattva, like that. To serve in the material world as Durga, as the fortress, to prevent unauthorized entry into the spiritual world. So these are all various. So these three aspects, Sandini Shakti, Samvit Shakti, and Alladini Shakti, they are all part of the Parashakti or Achintya Shakti or Swarupa Shakti of the Lord. So this is what is spoken today. There are various potencies. I am the reservoir of unlimited potency, the Lord is saying here. And I am known as the unlimited or all-pervading. Now this Parashakti, or the highest Shakti, the highest aspect of Shakti of the Lord as defined, has got three aspects. The first aspect is that these Shaktis are fully present in Bhagavan. Fully present, 100% present in Bhagavan. That is why Bhagavan is called as that person who has all these potencies or opulences in full. Aishwaryasya samagrasya virya shaya shasriya Jnana Vairagyoshchaiva Shannam Bhaga Itingana. The Lord has all these opulences in full. Full name, full fame, full strength, full beauty, full power, and despite having all that, full renunciation. He is not attached to any of this. No human being can be like that. If we get little bit of power also, we start throwing our weight around. But the Lord with all these things, He is still renounced. He is not attached to all this. Though His Shaktis are the most beautiful, they cannot attract the Lord. They cannot agitate the senses of the Lord. The Lord is only attracted to pure devotional devotion. Even if it is coming from an ugly woman like Kubja, He is still attracted to the devotional aspect. So He is not attracted to the external forms which He has only created. So these aspects are fully, these qualities are fully present only in Bhagavan, these Shaktis, and not in anyone else. But they are minutely present in all of us. That is why we are called as Tathascha Shakti. Little bit, we also have qualitative oneness, but not quantitatively one. We have these aspects qualitatively of eternality, knowledge, as well as bliss. And because of that only, the soul has the feature of being eternal, because we are part and parcel of Him. So soul is eternal. The soul also has that knowledge of Aham Brahmasmi, that I am that part and parcel of that Brahman. And the soul, because of this also, can realize the bliss of Brahman and the bliss beyond Brahman also. So the soul has this minute, has this in finite quantity, minute quantity. And the third aspect of Parashakti is, the first aspect it is fully present in Bhagavan. The second aspect is, it is present in a small quantity in Tathastha Shakti, which is the marginal. But the third aspect is that this Shakti is perversely reflected in His external energy, which is the Maya Shakti. Fully present in its pure pristine form, partially present in all of us, and present in the external energy in a perverted, reflected way. That's the point that we are trying to say. And because of this perverted reflection, what happens? The Jiva Tattva, it starts identifying with this perversion, thinking that I am Lord, everything is meant for my enjoyment. That is called as Aham Mameti. I am Bhagavan and everything is meant for my enjoyment. So this is a perverted reflection. Now, this perverted reflection is given because the soul desired to enjoy separately from the Lord. And that's why we have been sent to this jail of material existence. So, but these are all Shaktis of the Lord. The material manifestation also is a Shakti of the Lord. Now, we'll discuss the third aspect of today's Krishna. I knew this will happen today. No need. I'll manage. I don't want to stop the class halfway, then I'll have to wait for that. I'll manage somehow. Sorry? Okay, I'll try. Let me do one last attempt. If it comes, very good. Let's pray to Gauranithai, lotus feet. Impossible becomes possible by that. Yes, it's become possible now. Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Okay. Now, we will discuss the Ananta aspect of the Lord. So, we discussed about the various potencies. Now, owing to these unlimited potencies of the Lord is called as Ananta. Now, it is mentioned that 3/4 of the jurisdiction of the cosmos is the spiritual energy. And it is only 1/4 which is this material world. And this 1/4 material world, the scientists are sending rockets up and down. And we have not even scratched 0.00001% of this material world, which is 1/4. So we can imagine. And then, but the scientists have given us the concept of light years. And they still say there are galaxies which are millions and billions of light years away. Now that can give us a conception of how big this material world is. Light traveling in 1 year, what kind of distance? That itself is inconceivable. And then there are millions of light years. That is further inconceivable. And then further inconceivable that all this is only 1/4 of the cosmos. And then further it is said that the spiritual world is ever expanding. So, ananta, unending. And then it is said all this is within the Lord. So therefore the Lord is called as ananta. Can't conceive of this. Even scientifically we can imagine. It doesn't require Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. Because the scientists themselves are saying this material world itself is inconceivable. Right? People don't know what's happening. Yesterday I was, you know, on there was one session I was watching on the Bermuda Triangle. Something else has disappeared in recently, right? The scientists have been trying to figure out what's going on there. Anything that flies above that vanishes. They are sending millions of dollars are spent. You know, this vessels are going inside and trying to find out what is going on. So even in this universe, in our own Earth planet, we are not able to figure out. And that too, this is adjacent to the most technologically advanced nation called as United States of America. And then they are also not able to figure out. So it is inconceivable. There is the material world still continues. Mother Earth itself still continues to bewilder mankind. So we have not even started exploring the mystic aspects of this material world. And here the Lord, and that only confirms to us that the Lord is unlimited and ananta and achintya. He is inconceivable and unlimited. But the same Lord appears in various avatars. He comes and reveals himself to us. And the jivas also come here. The Lord also comes to this material world and the jivas also come. And it is explained that the jivas come here, we come here because of our own karma. But the Lord comes here out of his free will to inspire and deliver us and take us back to the spiritual world. The Lord, and why we are talking this subject is because Prabhupada uses a word here. Prabhupada, in the purport, Prabhupada says, the entire cosmic manifestation is described herein as guna vigraha, the form of the Lord's qualities. So what is guna vigraha? The form of the Lord's qualities. Now this guna vigraha is the perverted reflection in one sense of Satchidananda vigraha. Satchidananda vigraha and guna vigraha. So Prabhupada is writing here, the cosmic manifestation here, whatever is manifested here, is all guna vigraha. It is also coming from the Lord's qualities, but it is a perverted reflection of that. So there is Satchidananda vigraha and guna vigraha. And Prabhupada is clarifying here that all the jivas are within the abdomen of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Lord, we know the whole cosmic manifestation. How does it happen? In the spiritual sky, which is entirely Brahman, in one corner of that spiritual sky is a dark cloud, which is called as Pradhan. That Pradhan is the primeval cosmic substance in one sense. Everything comes from that Pradhan. Of course, Brahman is the primeval cosmic substance because Pradhan also comes from Brahman. So from Brahman, in one corner of that bright spiritual sky, is one dark cloud, which is called as Pradhan. But that cloud is in an inactive state. It's in an inactive state. It's like a bomb which has not yet been released or discharged, whatever. It's not exploded till now. So it's in an inactive state. And then what happens? That inactive Pradhan, which comes from Brahman, is activated through the glands of Mahavishnu. And it is said that Shambhu or Lord Shiva carries that glance along with Ramadevi. Lord Shiva and his consort, they carry that particular glance. And when that glance falls on this inactive Pradhan, it is agitated. And that agitated state of primeval cosmic matter is called as Mahat Tattva. And from that Mahat Tattva manifests all this material world. The spirit soul is not coming from the Mahat Tattva, because the spirit soul is Brahman, is original Brahman. Therefore, it is called as Nirguna Brahman. Whereas the Mahat Tattva is called as Saguna Brahman. All these aspects of material energy or matter, it's all called as Saguna Brahman. It's Brahman, but it is Brahman which is manifested as matter. So there is Nirguna Brahman and Saguna Brahman. So the jivas, the bodies of the jivas, your body, my body, they are also Brahman, but they are Brahman manifesting as matter. That's why our body is called as material. But we, the spirit soul within that, is not material. We are spirit soul. We are original pure Brahman. So, and then the Lord also arranges all the, not only the gross, but the subtle aspects also. And the Lord arranges for the three modes of material nature to interact with the false ego, which produces the demigods, the material mind. Then the Lord comes into this material world, he creates the whole shell. Within this shell, he enters as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Within the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, there are 14 planetary systems he creates. So everything the Lord is creating. And then from that lotus, after that Brahma is created. Now why that aspect is important in today's verse is because what is being said here in today's verse, if you read this line, it is said that from my material energy, the cosmic manifestation appeared within me, and in this universal manifestation appeared the chief being Lord Brahma, who is your source. So the Lord is telling Daksha, you don't start worshipping Brahma as the supreme cause of, just because he is your father, or because he is your father's father in this pastime, because Prachetas have come from Swayambhu Manu, have come from Prachina Barhi, then you know Brahma, like that. The whole lineage will come to that. So he's cautioning him, saying that I have come in front of you, but you please understand I am the supreme father, I am the cause of all causes, not those immediate fathers that you have had. And it's very important. It's very important for us also to understand this. But it is easy to understand it theoretically, and it's difficult to realize it practically. In my own personal experience and the realizations which I'm getting right now, because my father just left his body in December this year. I lost my father. I was very close to him, right? So yesterday also when I was studying this, I was thinking thanks to this section, because I am so attached to him because I am seeing him as my only father. But my father also has a father. He also has a father. He also has a father. He also has a father. And that way we go to the Supreme Father, right? So we are, unfortunately, we are not attached to our Supreme Father as well as we are, as much as we are attached to our immediate father. And that is a danger. Yesterday night also I was feeling very emotional. I was suddenly remembering my father. It's very difficult when you lose someone who's very near and dear to you, especially if it's father and mother. Very, very difficult initial few months, right? So at that time, the Bhagavatam gives you shelter at that time. It gives you higher perspective. Once Jagat Tarini Mataji was saying that when you go into a shopping mall, many times the shopping mall have got, you know, an elevator. Not elevator, what is that called? Which goes up and down. Elevator, yes, a lift which goes up and down. And it's a transparent elevator. Many times the shopping malls have the elevator outside the shopping mall, not inside the shopping mall. So what happens when you're going in from the ground floor, you hear all the noise in the traffic, especially in India. You know, here you may not know that much, but India it's pam, 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 pam. Everybody is, you know, the auto wala, pee, 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 pam, pam, pam. Completely it's like that. And then when you come back from India to here, you feel, where have I come now? And the silence kind of kills you for a few days, right? Because you get used to that also. You think that is enjoyment. Okay, so therefore, Jagat Tarini Mataji was mentioning that this noise is so much when you are at ground level. But the moment you enter the escalator and the doors close, then what happens? Then the same, pam, 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 it becomes, pam, 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 pam. And then what happens? Then you go up and up, level 1, level 2, and then, pam, pam, pam. And then it goes up and then, shh, no noise. And then you are seeing down, you are seeing all these small, 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 small cars. Now people are busy running here and there, and I'm thinking, what is going on here? Everything seems so minute and insignificant. Just like, you know, the investment property or the property that we buy, you know, and then we pay mortgage throughout our life. When you go on the aircraft, it looks like a small matchbox. And you think, my goodness. And I thought I had a big house. It's a small, tiny dust, right? Just made of some bricks, right? So we realize the insignificance only when we lift ourselves to a higher level and see things from the higher perspective. And that is what the sections like this, that is exactly what Srimad Bhagavatam does. It lifts our consciousness. So whenever we are in misery, Srimad Bhagavatam, when we open and start reading, it will immediately lift us beyond the three modes of material nature, beyond our lamentations to a higher level. And that's the beauty of that example which Her Grace Jagat Tarini Mataji gave. So, the Lord
is described here as ananta, as unlimited. That is what this section is hammering. He is unlimited. Now we have a temple called Ananta Padmanabha temple. If you go to that Ananta Padmanabha temple, I had that opportunity to go in 2010 in a yatra. When I went to South India, when you see this Ananta Padmanabha temple, the beauty of that is that you cannot see the Lord directly through one door. Part of his body is seen through one dwar. You have to go to another gate to see part of the rest of the body and the transcendental body of the Lord. And then you have to go through another gate to see another aspect of the body of the Lord. Now, why is this Ananta Padmanabha temple manifest in this way? It is to give us the conception that the Lord is unlimited. Now, the Lord here is now explaining to Daksha this unlimited aspect of his. He is explaining to him that, my dear Daksha, do not get too besotted with the secondary creation. Before the secondary creation, there was a primary creation of which I am the cause. So, he explains to him that Visarga is different from Sarga. Sarga is primary creation and Visarga is secondary creation. Now that Visarga comes from two words. Vishesha Sarga. That is called as Visarga. Vishesha Sarga. Vishesha Sarga means the differentiated forms of that which is undifferentiated, Brahman. That is why it is called as Visarga or Vishesha Sarga. And why he is explaining this to Daksha is that he is explaining to Daksha this point, saying that your own father, who is responsible for this Vishesha Sarga or differentiated aspect, he himself was bewildered by this creation of mine. So in one sense, he's telling, who are you then? No, the Lord is not exactly meaning in that way, but he's educating him, saying that do not get too attached. Do not be in a great admiration of Lord Brahmaji itself as the all in all, because your father himself was bewildered with this cosmic creation. And the bewilderment of Lord Brahmaji, we all know. Bewilder of Lord Brahmaji we see in two cases. Okay, at least in two cases we see. What is the first case of bewilderment? When he is sitting on the lotus, he doesn't know what to do. So he is looking left, right, nothing. There is a lotus flower on which he is sitting and he is wondering, why am I sitting here? What am I supposed to do now? And then he is going down that stem, trying to find out where is the origin of that stem, and he is not able to find that stem. Though he is traveling for his time, in Brahma's time he is traveling and he is not able to find the origin, right? Another aspect of Ananta of the Lord, unlimitedness. And then he realizes, okay, let me go back on the lotus flower, and he starts meditating. When he starts meditating, then that Lord, who cannot be revealed by astral travel, reveals himself to Brahma. And then Brahmaji understands, oh my Lord, this is the Lord. And then the Brahma Samhita happens, right? So that is the first aspect of bewilderment of the Lord. Yet that bewilderment of the Lord is nothing when compared to the bewilderment of the Lord on the non-ananta form of the Lord. On the non-ananta form. The Lord is ananta, but why I am specifically using the non-ananta is because what bewildered Brahmaji's form, bewildered Brahmaji more? The form of Krishna in Brahma Vimoga Leela. That same Ananta Lord, who is inconceivable, who is so huge, is now just sitting in Vrindavan. And then what is he doing? He is having yogurt in his left hand, that too. And he is having some, what is that, carrot and other things on his right hand. And he is sitting like this. Okay, and he is looking in, where are my cowherd boys? Looking here, he's looking there. And then same Brahmaji is having a doubt. Is that Ananta this kid? He's thinking like that. And that is even more bewildering to Lord Brahmaji. And then all of you know how Brahmaji's ignorance was dissipated, right? What did the Lord do? Actually, it is mentioned, I heard in one class, that the Lord actually created another Brahma, because this Brahma had come to test the Lord. So wherever this Brahma came from, the Lord created another Brahmaji there and told everyone that this is the original Brahma. Another Brahma will come claiming after some time that he is Brahma, don't allow him inside. He is imposter. So Brahmaji paid dearly for his folly. So when he went there, he was not allowed inside. So he had to come back quickly. That's why it said he came back in 1 year itself. Otherwise it would have been ages by that time. And Krishna would have had to do the separation pastime for many more earthly years. So he came back in 1 year. He went there quickly and he glanced back. But when he glanced back, what happened? He found that the Lord has, whatever he has hidden there, everything is there. He looked here, everything is there as it is. Right? So that is another instance when Brahmaji got bewildered. So that so the Lord can bewilder with his infinite size, but also bewilder in terms of becoming so finite that people start doubting, is he that infinite? So this is another aspect of the Ananta aspect, Ananta feature of the Lord. Ananta is not only characterized by dimensions, Ananta is also characterized by the qualities of the Lord and the pastimes of the Lord, where he is able to do so many things. It's also characterized by the change that he can do from that size to this size, to bewilder, right? So Lord is eager to explain this to Daksha Prajapati, saying that your father has been bewildered twice like that. And I am his source. From me everything is manifesting. Yet another aspect of the Lord which is coming out here is that everything has come from the Lord. The Lord not only created the gross aspect and the subtle aspect of this material world. Of course, everything has come from him. Brahman, we discussed that already. The material world has come from the spirit, right? From Brahman. And Brahman has come from, Brahman comes from Krishna. Brahmano hi pratishtaham. I am the source of Brahman, Lord Krishna says. The Mayavadis, the impersonalist philosophy or bogus versions of Bhagavad Gita, what do they say? They say, Bhagavan is also coming from Brahman. No, Bhagavan doesn't come from Brahman. Brahman comes from Bhagavan, right? Brahmano hi pratishta aham. Lord Krishna clarifies this, smashes this in the Bhagavad Gita by saying, I am the source of Brahman. Nowhere it is said, Narayana has come from Brahman or Brahman is the source of Narayana. Nowhere it is said like that, right? So therefore, the Lord creates this, from Brahman he creates this whole material world. And then all the jivas, like all of us, because we wanted to enjoy separately, we came here into this material world. So the Lord not only created infrastructure for us to come into this material world, but the Lord also gives us the knowledge by which we can get out of this infrastructure, which otherwise we start falling in love with. When we go to that some beautiful suburb, we start thinking, wow, what beautiful manor lakes. Let me buy. It is very easy for us to get attracted to the external energy of the Lord and to take decisions in our life, which we may or may not regret, but usually we regret. Right? Right. So this phantasmagoria of this material world, the Maya is presented in such a way that it is very attractive. So what the Lord does, he gives us the scriptures. The knowledge aspect, the samvit shakti, that potency. He gives us the scriptures and knowledge. Now, what is the purpose of this knowledge or the scriptures which that Ananta Lord gives us? The scriptures serve four purposes. Four D's you can remember. How many D's? Four D's you have to remember, both of you. Two D's you remember, two D's you remember. Okay? Okay? Four D's. Otherwise, four children can remember four D's. Like that. What is the first D to remember? Discrimination. Through the scriptures we get knowledge to discriminate what is good for my eternal well-being and what is not good. For example, when we go in India recently, when I was traveling in the local train, I had gone to Vrindavan for my father's ashes. Okay, so when you went, that bhajiya wala came inside, bhajiya like that. Okay, he's selling those, you know. And that bhajiya, obviously, you know what happens, the fragrance is very tempting, but can you eat those bhajiyas? What will happen? First of all, spiritually itself not good, but materially also what happens? Do you think he has your eternal well-wisher, he is of your health? Is he worried about your health? No. He is worried about, he is more focused on our money, right? And also, it is recycled oil, that bhajiya. If you eat that, what will happen? For 5 minutes, it will taste very nicely. After that, vomiting will start, right? Stomachache will start, right? So the power of discrimination is given. Should I eat this or should I not eat this? So with that viveka buddhi, we can take proper decisions in our life. The second D, which it gives us determination. The Lord gives us determination. And He shows examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam of such determination. What is the most tempting thing in this material world? The highest temptation comes in the form of the opposite sex. That is the highest temptation. There is no higher temptation. Even big, big leaders can fall. Powerful leaders have fallen, are fallible to the temptations of the opposite sex, right? So in the scriptures, there are so many pastimes that give us determination to overcome this, right? 4 beautiful pastimes are there of how the temptation to opposite sex has been addressed. The first one, which I can remember, there are many, but I'll talk about these 4 very briefly. The first one is Saubhari Muni. Saubhari Muni went inside the water so that he need not be connected with this external world. But when he went inside the water, separated from devotees, tried to do meditation away from devotees, what happened? Saubhari Muni saw 2 fishes mating in the water. And seeing these 2 fishes, he developed sex desire. And therefore what happened? He went from his Muni, he went and to Grihastha Ashram after that. Right? So, he failed to address it. Now, what happened when the same Cupid came and tried to attract Lord Shiva? What happened? How did he address it? Lord Shiva opened his 3rd eye and he burnt the whole Cupid itself. Right? So this is how Lord Shiva addressed it. So one fellow succumbed to it. Another personality destroyed it in this way. The 3rd personality, Nar Narayan Rishi, they addressed it in an even higher way. What is that higher way they addressed? When Lord Indra saw Nar Narayan Rishi was meditating, Lord Indra always tried to test, right? So he sent his most beautiful damsels over there, okay, to attract and agitate the senses of Nar Narayan Rishi. But what did Nar Narayan Rishi do? Nar Narayan Rishi, he created women who are much more beautiful than the apsaras which Indra sent, so much so that Indra got obsessed with one of Nar Narayan Rishi's creations. And then Nar Narayan Rishi, in Hindi we say, tu bhi kya yaad rakhega, lele. He said, you take this Urvashi, that's how Urvashi went there, created by Nar Narayan Rishi, the most beautiful damsel I am creating for you, you take now. You thought that I wanted your damsels? No, I am creating something, you take her. And that way Nar Narayan Rishi proved that even that which is agitating you right now cannot agitate me. This is the 3rd way in which the same aspect of lust was addressed. So one level was succumbing to it, Durvasa Muni. Another is destroying it, burning it. The 3rd is showing something higher. And then taking the battle to the opposite camp like that. And then making Indra realize. But the 4th, which is the highest, is who? Haridas Thakur. The 4th is the person, the prostitute who was sent for enjoyment, converted and transformed that prostitute into a devotee. Not only that, the prostitute then became a guru. And she made other devotees, right? Now these are the levels at which lust can be addressed. There are 4 distinct levels that we see in Srimad Bhagavatam. Now when we study these pastimes, what happens? What is the first D? Discrimination. When we study these pastimes, what is the second D? Determination. Determination comes, right? Saying that this is how determination comes. We get inspired. Because determination is a cause. Or sorry, determination is a result of inspiration. So there is discrimination, determination. And then the 3rd thing which the Shastras talk about is discipline. That is why we have got all these vidhis. These vidhis are required for bringing some order into our life. What time to wake up in the morning? What to do in the morning? What not to do in the morning? Otherwise, what happens? Retired life means how the morning starts? Get up late and then have chai, tea, along with newspaper. Correct or no? This is retired life, right? And then watch morning program. Which morning program? Not Bhagavatam class. Television morning program. They also have morning program, right? So watch that and then go out for a walk with other old people. Talk about the political situation in this world, right? Come back, have lunch, and then sleep, correct? Again, go back in the evening, and then come back. After that, what happens? You have now had your exercise and walk. Now time to sit and watch television, right? And then go to bed. In between, some people take alcohol also, right? Right? Along with that, have some alcohol so that, you know, go to bed, get up late in the morning. So this is what it is. So, the vidhis, the scriptures tell us how to live our life. What is the regimen of your daily life? So, discrimination, determination and discipline. And all these three gradually will lead to the fourth D, which is called as, any guess? Detachment. When we practice all these three, what happens? We will slowly stop our dalliance with material energy and therefore we will get detached. But more important than this detachment, what happens? We get attached. Attached to what? Devotional service. That is the last D. Devotional service attachment. Don't call it as A. Okay? Attachment to devotional service. Okay? So that happens. So that is, so the Lord not only creates this jail, but he also gives us the scriptures by which he gives us the path of developing discrimination, detachment, discipline and detachment to escape this material world. So he is Ananta in all aspects. He, in that sense, the Lord thinks in so many dimensions that that thinking itself is also Ananta. He cares for us so much. His jurisdiction and his focus is unending, infinite focus. We can only focus on one thing at a time, right? In office also, it is said that there is a pyramid of jurisdiction. It is said that a manager should not have more than some X number of people reporting to him. I can't remember. It is 8 or 9 or something like that. And beyond that, then he can't control, right? But the Lord is Ananta. His focus is unending. And he's personal with every living entity. So this is inconceivable. So these aspects are mentioned here. So now what is the conclusion of this chapter? Quickly go there. So here the Lord is now this unlimited Lord who has created this unlimited creation. He is now given darshan to Daksha in a limited manner. So Daksha at least can see the whole Lord. So he has come in a form, in an 8-handed form, and this unlimited Lord is showing his form to Daksha. So for us, what is important here? For us, what is the learning? How to understand this unlimited Lord? So we'll go back to where we began the class. We said that the Lord can be understood through his name, form, Gun and Nama Leela, Rupa and Gun. So for Daksha, the Daksha is seeing the form of the transcendental form of this Lord, and that's how the Lord is inspiring him and educating him with instructions. For us, the Ananta aspect of the Lord, how does it manifest for us? It manifests in Bhagavad Gita's verse where the Lord says, Satatam Kirtayantuma, which means what? Do unlimited chanting. For us, the unlimited aspect of the Lord is the aspect of we chanting the Lord's names unlimitedly, right? Of course, Prabhupada said minimum 16 rounds. Prabhupada didn't say 16 rounds, right? What is the instruction? Unlimited chanting. For us, we have come to the platform of Satatam Kirtayantamam. And then by that unlimited chanting, we can realize the unlimited Lord through the power of the holy names, which has the power to reveal the infinite absolute truth to all of us. So Daksha was delivered by the form and we are delivered by the name. This is how Lord Krishna operated and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How did they operate? During Dwapar Yuga, Lord Krishna came to instruct us on how to do bhakti, and 2 days back, it was the advent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. While Lord Krishna came to instruct us, Lord Chaitanya came to demonstrate to us how we should do bhakti. One was instructive in its nature and another was demonstrative in its nature. And both of them talked about the holy names of the Lord. The Lord instructed Satatam Kirtayantamam and Lord Chaitanya demonstrated how to actually do us. So Kali Yuga Avatar Chaitanya Nitai Papa Pashanda Nahimane. The Lord does not discriminate who is papi, who is pious. He doesn't discriminate. His holy name is available to everyone. So another aspect of Ananta, which is the final aspect of Ananta, is what? The unlimited mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by which even fallen, the most fallen people of Kali Yuga can be delivered and can be reformed beyond our imagination, from hippies to gurus, like that, spiritual masters, right? In one lifetime, this journey can happen by the power of the holy name, the unlimited power of the holy name given by the unlimited mercy of the Lord, who himself is Ananta, is called as Ananta. So these are various aspects. So it's a very interesting section. So Lord Vishnu is now, I think he's giving a little bit more instructions also tomorrow. So we, maybe we'll leave it for the next speaker to speak on this section. I'll stop here and ask if there are any questions or comments. Hare Krishna. Madhyalti. Thank you.
A lot of things from the very highly theoretical thing that you mentioned about the Ananta aspect of Lord, all the creations, all the universe, and then you come to the last part of this infinite devotion or chanting. So if I look at in modern world, the creation of universe and the Ananta aspect of the universe that you mentioned, so how we can link all these things together? Because within 1 hour you have covered so many things. I'm so amazed to learn all these things. So I'm thinking that if I look at the modern science and talk about the Big Bang theory, where the infinite dot cosmic energy exploded and the whole universe created, and you can see that even billion light year away, some galaxies or some of this, scientists can get some signal through the radio telescope. If you compare this one and then only this gross body, and Lord Krishna conceived that body and he instructed or give this devotional rasa. So how do you link all those things together? It's so, sometimes you can say confusing as well for common people. Even for me also, I'm a scientist, I'm very confused. So can you please a little bit highlight on that? Thank you.
Yeah. So the answer is very long, but because of paucity of time, I'll keep it very briefly, I'll tell you, and then we can have an offline chat on how to do this. So Srila Prabhupada said that we have to study the scriptures, then we will understand the connection of everything. How all these are fitted together has to be studied through the scriptures, and the scriptures have to be studied systematically. It's like the, otherwise it will become like the four blind, how many blind men and the elephant? What was the story? Somebody is only seeing that one aspect, the tail, and concluding it is a rope. Someone is seeing the trunk and concluding it's a tree. But then someone who has studied the elephant systematically will all the dots will get connected and will be able to see the synthesis of all this. A beautiful symbiosis of everything, of this entire ecosystem, we will be able to see, provided we read the scriptures systematically. So there are five subject matters which the Bhagavad Gita talks about. Who is God? Who are we? Ishvara Jiva. What is time? Kal, Ishvara Jiva Kal. And then what is karma? Why do bad things happen to good people? And then, what is the fifth one? I forgot. Ishvara Jiva Prakriti. This material nature. How does this material nature operate? Is there some higher principles? Are there some higher principles? Is there some higher controlling entity by which everything is in order? It's not a coincidence that we sow a seed, apple seed, and apple only comes out, right? It's not a coincidence that the sun is coming, in the horizon every passing day, and there's never a bug in the program. It is not shut down for, scheduled maintenance. Some say, they say, no, on internet, oops, something went wrong. Scheduled maintenance. The Lord never says oops like that, right? So, and the sun doesn't require recharging. Every day it's giving the same amount of light, right? So how is this happening? So what happens is, we are sitting in a small well of material science. We are like the frog in the well. The frog in the well is sitting inside the water of the well and trying to conceptualize the Pacific Ocean, which it is not able to. And then it is asking a question that, is Pacific Ocean bigger than this well? How many wells like this is the Pacific Ocean? Right? Because we are trying to understand that absolute truth through the lens of our material knowledge, which is not possible. Right? So therefore, to have an absolute understanding of this, we have to study the scriptures. Because the scriptures are not man-made. They are coming from the Supreme Lord Himself. They are the Vani of the Lord, coming through Om. All the scriptures have come through that. It's the voice of God. So unless we study the scriptures, we will not be able to understand the synthesis of all these things. So that's my brief answer. Now the practical aspect of understanding is that in Melbourne, lot of devotees are engaged in disseminating this scriptural knowledge in a very systematic way. That program is called as a Bhakti Vriksha program. So lot of devotees have engaged themselves in giving this knowledge to others. They have studied it themselves. They have spent years studying this and they are giving it to others. So my humble request would be that if, given your sincerity, sincere quest that you have, then please allow the devotees to serve you in that way. If you can, you know, if you can talk to devotees and find out where these programs are happening, then the devotees will share their experience of having studied these scriptures with you and their realizations that they have derived from such study. And then you may be able to connect and have a very systematic journey towards your own realizations thereof.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Okay.
Okay. Quick question. How would you define a sinful activity?
Define sinful activity.
Yeah.
How do you define sinful activity? Okay. Any activity is called as a sin if the intention behind it is against what the Lord desires. Okay? The intention behind an activity, if it is not in alignment with the desire of God, that activity is characterized as sin. Right? For example, if I have a gun, okay, and if somebody, let's say, is going around, you know, if somebody is going around and abusing a lady, right? And he's a very powerful fellow. Lot of people are trying to, you know, subjugate him. And I am the law enforcement authority. I am the police. Okay? Then I'm warning him, stop this activity. Or somebody is running over people, like, you know, it happened in Burke Street, you know, taking a car. And then if that person is shot, do you think it is sin? Do you really think it is sin? Because it could be your child under the car, right? Others can say, no, we should have handled it peacefully. But what do you do when someone is going mad? You have to stop him. All good sense. You tell him, please stop your car, but he's not going to listen. No, he's going to run over you also. Then you have to stop that fellow. So, therefore, violence is required sometimes to stop violence. But that violence which is implemented to stop violence is not sin. But on the other hand, if we see a nice animal going, and I'm saying, I want to taste this animal, and you chop the head of that animal and you eat that animal. Now, is that required? No. So such violence is then categorized as sin. So what is sin and what is not sin is not defined by the activity, but rather with the intent with which we have done that activity. If that intent is aligned with dharma, dharma means basic tenets of religion, then such activity does not come into the jurisdiction of sin. Whereas if it is done outside of it, then it qualifies as sin. So in short, that is the definition. Okay, yeah.
And thank you, Prabhuji, for the wonderful class. My question is, you were talking about how people, they go to demigod temples for material benefit, but sometimes we do have to go to the demigod's temple. So like, what should be our prayers or mood when we go there?
Okay, good, very good question. So sometimes we have to, you would like to come inside? Please come. So,
your question is, what should be the mood when we go to demigod temples? Okay. When we go to demigod temples, let us take some examples. If we go to Lord Ganesha's temple, right? He's a devata, right? What should be our mood? We can see Lord Ganesh in different ways. I come from Bombay, where Lord Ganesh ji is worshipped. Okay? But why do we worship Lord Ganesh? To get promotion in office, before the examination results, to get admission into a college, right? For all kinds of things we have worshipped, okay? For relationships, okay? So all kinds of problems people go. He's like the home minister, right? So we go to him with all kinds of problems in our life, right? But how does a devotee see Lord Ganesh? When a devotee sees Lord Ganesh, he sees Lord Ganesh as that person who scripted the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Lord Ganesh wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyasadeva was speaking, but who wrote? Lord Ganesh wrote. So, but for that, how would we have been sitting in this classroom discussing this scripture, right? So when we see him, we go with a mood of gratitude, not for the material things, also for the material things, but mainly for the spiritual things. And then we pray to Lord Ganesh that please give me the same attitude of service that you have towards Krishna. Please give me the same compassion that you have for all the living entities because of which you took up this activity of scripting Srimad Bhagavatam. If you go to a Durga temple, what do? You again worship Lord Durga Devi. That Durga Devi, though she could be very comfortable in the spiritual world, what is she doing? She is doing a thankless job for the Lord. In terms of Trigunamayi, she is keeping all the material living entities in this material world and only allowing authorized entry into the spiritual world. So she is like a jailer in that sense. Who likes to work in a jailer? Would you like to do the job of a jailer? Okay. Suppose you study and then they say, okay, your job is you are head of prisons, inspector general of prisons. Yes, some people like that. But then if you are asked to sit whole time in that penitentiary, you know, disciplining all the criminals, then it will get on your head after some time. It's a thankless job. So Durga Devi is doing the thankless job for the Lord. So then when you see that Durga Devi, then your mood is how great you are, Durga Devi, that you have put your own desires and preferences aside and you are only focusing now on how I can serve the Lord. So like that, each demigod has a speciality. So when you go to a particular demigod temple, think about how that demigod, if you go to Murugan temple, think about how Lord Kartikeya served as the general in Lord Krishna's pastimes in this world. So that way you can meditate. And that way what will happen? Your desire to ask for material benedictions will go away and we will have genuine appreciation and gratitude for that personality. Is that okay? Okay. Yes, Mataji. Time up? Okay. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.